Professor Jay Layden made headlines around the world when, after years of teaching literature at Yeshiva University, he returned to the Orthodox Jewish campus as a woman, Joy Layden. Women's Philanthropy of the Jewish Federation of Northeastern New York will host Joy Layden at Ohav Shalom Synagogue in Albany on Thursday at 6 o'clock. The program shares the title of her new book, Through the Door of Life, A Jewish Journey Between Genders. In her story, Layden wrestles with both the practical problems of gender transition and the larger moral, spiritual, and philosophical questions that arise. Layden is a Fulbright scholar and the author of 7 books. She is the first openly transgender employee of an Orthodox Jewish institution. It is a pleasure to welcome Joy Layden to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
When you come to groups like this, what is the overall message that you try to get across?
I'm not sure I think of it in terms of a message. I want to be a human being with other human beings. By talking about my experience of identity and gender and Jewish identity and the ways those things have intersected for me, I'm hoping to help people think about things that are difficult to think about and even talk about because our language isn't designed for it. So I'm hoping to be a beginning of a conversation that many communities, Jewish communities, are just starting to have.
When it comes to the Jewish community and that conversation, what are the tenets of that conversation? What do you think are the questions that you had to answer and the questions that are still being asked in that community?
Well, I think most of the questions regarding what transgender identity is, I mean, even the term transgender identity is an umbrella term that it's a shorthand for referring to many, and we're not yet sure how many different relations to gender. We're still as a culture in the process of figuring out what transgender identity means, and what kinds of social adjustments are required for it. So in all of the communities that I've gone to are usually at the beginnings of that conversation. And there's particular questions in Jewish communities because Judaism, like most traditional religions, is strongly organized in terms of gender. Many Jewish laws are phrased as applying to either men or women and not both. And so there are particular questions of how do you deal with people whose gender identity doesn't fit neatly into those categories? What does that mean? And I think for a lot of people, there's a presumption that transgender identity is a secular concept and that being transgender means rejecting religious identification, a relationship with God, a relationship with the Torah, the Bible, as non-Jews call it. And so I want to be there to show how those identities can intersect and complement each other. For me, being Jewish and having a relationship with God and being trans were intimately related to one another. And I would say that being trans actually fostered my relationship with God and the Torah rather than interfered with it.
So the religious component was always a part of the transition for you?
It was. I mean, long before transition, from the time that I was a child. And when I say religious, a lot of people think in terms of Jewish religion, in terms of the traditional code of law, called halacha, and I didn't grow up Orthodox, so I didn't grow up following those traditional laws, although some of them, such as keeping kosher, I observed. But when I talk about Jewish religion, I mean a mode of thinking about what it means to be human, what our obligations are to one another, and a way of thinking about a relationship with God. And I started thinking about those and thinking about them in a Jewish way as a young child when I was also trying to figure out what it meant to know that I wasn't the boy that everybody thought I was.
How important was it for you to answer those questions and come to terms and know your religion well enough for you to make the transition, or were there other factors? Obviously, there was other factors that play into it as well.
For me, religion was not something that went into figuring out whether I was going to transition or not. For one thing, because I wasn't Orthodox, I wasn't practicing a form of Judaism that had any strong prohibitions against being transgender in any way. It's my Jewish community is welcoming of all kinds of Jews, so it wasn't an issue in that mm-hmm. sense. But it was also not an issue because from the time that I was very small, I felt that God was the one person who really knew who I was. God had made me trans, and God was the person I talked with about being trans, and that was always part of our relationship. With the obstacles for me with transition had to do with relations with human beings, particularly the impact of my transition on my family, my wife and my children, and to a lesser extent, but still important extent, what it would mean to, be a teacher, whether I would ever be able to teach again. When I grew up, I assumed that if anybody knew that I was trans, I would be shunned, I would be exiled, I would become, kind of monstrous, either an object of ridicule or maybe an object of horror. And those were the fears that kept me from thinking about transition until my 40s.
You're working at an Orthodox Jewish campus at Yeshiva University, and yes, it's certainly secondary to the family, but it obviously has to cross your mind as to what impact it's going to have on your job. Are you going to be able to teach these students, and what impact is it going to have on the campus? When did that dialogue start with your employers?
Well, I sent a coming out letter to my dean a couple of weeks after receiving tenure, and I assumed that that would be the end of my ability to teach at Yeshiva, and possibly my ability, the end of my ability to teach anywhere. I feared the worst. The dean made a point of meeting with me in person and having lunch with me at a kosher restaurant right near this school, and she told me that I would not be allowed to set foot on campus, that was against the school's policy, but that I would remain a member of the faculty with full salary and benefits. And so that was that was the initial arrangement that we made. Over the course of the following year, my students, I hadn't been communicating with them, but students of mine started contacting me, and they had somehow heard about my transition. They didn't understand it, but for the most part, they were outraged by the way the school was responding to it. They felt that rather than feeling that the school was upholding Jewish law by, keeping a transgender person off campus, they felt that the school was violating Jewish law by treating a human being disrespectfully, that treating human beings with respect is foundational to Judaism, and they felt that as an institution representing Judaism, Yeshiva University had an obligation not to discriminate against me. A number of them went to the dean and talked to her about it, and after a year of what the school called involuntary research leave, I returned to teaching.
How did you understand the university's position?
Oh, absolutely. The dean told me that she believed that students and their families would never accept a professor like me. And because I had grown up assuming that if I ever revealed, who I really was, if I ever started, living as a woman and revealing that I was transgender, I'd always assumed that people would push me away. So at a deep level, this was just the fulfillment of my childhood nightmare of rejection. But I also felt in another way, from teaching at Yeshiva University, I developed a great respect for Orthodox Jewish culture because it kept sending me these extraordinary young women to work with. And I know that traditional cultures take a long time to change. That's the, you know, that's the nature of traditional cultures. And so in a non-emotional way, I also took it for granted that it was, you know, that I was too much too soon for Orthodox Judaism. But I was wrong on both counts.
And it would seem to me there would be a great sense of pride in having the students speak out for you.
Oh, I was extremely proud of my students, and I felt that they taught me a lot about being a Jew and about being a human being. They really represented some of the highest forms of being human. In fact, you know, I grew up in the middle of the 20th century. I'm as full of prejudices and, you know, fears of people who look different than I am as anyone else. And my students showed me that it's my obligation as a Jew to look beyond any difference and see the human being and the image of God in which that human being is created, and respond to that. So not only am I proud of them, I feel that they've taught me an enormous amount.
With that said, have you changed as a teacher?
I have changed as a teacher in complicated ways. I used to talk much more about my life than I do now. So it's paradoxical. When I was teaching as a man, I would talk freely about my life, but I knew that the life I was talking about wasn't reflecting the truth of my identity. Now I feel worried about talking about my life because it does reflect the truth about who I am. And Yeshiva University has not been comfortable with any public discussion of transgender identity. There's no educational efforts. There are no student forums. It's really a one-to-one thing. So I never know what students sitting in my classes think about me or what they know about me. And I know that some Orthodox Jews would find my being transgender, like a reference to that, really distracting from and problematic in terms of the learning process. You know, I'm not there to teach gender studies. I'm there to teach writing and American literature. So I have found myself adopting a kind of uncomfortable don't ask, don't tell policy because I don't want to say anything that will make it harder for students to grow with me.
I understand not wanting to make it hard for the students, but I would think it would make it hard on you.
Yes. It does, but, you know, teachers are there for the students. That's, you know, it's my job. It's also hard on me to grade comp papers, but that's that's part of my job, too.
But there's a freedom and a freeing of talking about yourself that is withheld from the student now, that could be perceived, and it isn't, but it could be perceived as shame.
You're absolutely right, and it's very hard. This is one of the problems of tolerance as opposed to real inclusion. So, you know, there are a lot of places in the world where minorities are tolerated. There are people who are different, and they're not chased away or fired or persecuted, but also nobody wants to talk about their identity or acknowledge it or discuss their difference. And so there's a kind of a silence that grows up around the difference, which is very hard to distinguish from shame. And you're right, it imposes a psychological burden on the person who is different, who has to keep kind of looking at people and saying, are we not talking about my difference because you fully accept me, or are we not talking about it because you're really uncomfortable with my difference, but we've agreed to pretend that it doesn't matter. And as a teacher, it's very limiting. I mean, I want to give my students as much as I can of myself. And I can't do that as long as I've learned and grown an enormous amount through the process of gender transition and the experience of being transgender, and being unable to talk about those aspects of my experience when it's appropriate means that, yeah, that I can't share the fullness of myself with students, and that feels sad to me.
And not to oversimplify this, and I certainly don't mean to do that in any way, shape, or form, but the old adage being write what you know. And if what you know it is that you have to temper back in some way, shape, or form, isn't sending the right message, or at least the same message that you were sending, I assume, to students prior to the transition.
Yes, that's right. Although, the funny thing is that prior to transition, when I was acting like I was not ashamed, I really was living in shame. So it's a strange combination. It's hard for me to talk about what I think is the ultimate goal of teaching in the humanities, which is to help students learn to grow toward being the fullest human beings they can be and help them figure out what that means to them. It's hard for me to do that while having to tiptoe around and avoid so many aspects of my experience that that have been my teachers in that respect, that define for me what it means to be whole. At the same time, I feel like, you know, there are other ways of being really with people, ways that don't necessarily require that. So I'm hoping it's not a disaster.
I'm sure that you get individual questions, though, from students, right? I mean, you are honest to the students individually. It's the group that is different?
Any student who opens the conversation with me, I'm happy to talk about it with.
Mm.
And now, you know, I don't publicize the fact that I've written a memoir about this, but if you Google my name, it's pretty hard to avoid finding stuff that I've written about it. So I don't conceal it. But I think that most students, even the ones who talk to me, they come from a culture in which there really is no language for talking about transgender identity. And they're not sure whether this is something that is a source of shame for me. They really don't want to embarrass me. And so there's a kind of talking about it without talking about it. The most powerful moment for me came when a comp student at the beginning of the year knocked on my door and said, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk to you about this, but I know that you've suffered great loss and my father is dying of cancer, and you know, I wonder if you can tell me, how do you bear losing someone you love?
Hmm.
So she never said anything in the very intimate conversation that followed. I don't think either of us ever said anything about gender transition, but we talked a lot about the complicated feelings that parents have toward children when they can't be what their children need them to be, which is something I've experienced as a father, and the kind of anger and rage and love that the tangle that children feel when their parents fail them by dying or by gender transition, by changing in ways that are painful and terrifying.
I ask the question because I'm sure that many people listening at home are asking the question, which is, have you considered or would you consider going to another university where the environment is more freeing?
I would definitely consider doing that. There, I don't think that there's a great demand for tenured English professors who specialize in poetry. So if there is, I have not heard about it. But, you know, I've definitely thought about that. And it would be a great relief in some ways. I mean, I speak at schools. My son goes to Hampshire College, which is, you know, so advanced in terms of its relation to gender that I feel old-fashioned. Mm. You know, it's definitely something I think about, but there are two two things on the other side for me. One is that I do truly love the students that I get to work with, and I find it very exciting to work at the intersection of traditional culture and modernity, and that's what being a modern Orthodox Jew is. That's what my students are learning to negotiate. And the other thing that I would miss is just the fact that because I'm transgender at an Orthodox university, going to work is doing something important in a way that I didn't feel before as an English professor. It kind of matters to people in the Orthodox world, particularly to queer Jews living and hiding in the Orthodox world, to be able to see someone who is openly transgender. I'm not Orthodox, but I'm a sign that Orthodox culture may someday be able to accept them living openly as who they are. And that gives my life a significance that I'm not sure it would have at another more comfortable teaching situation.
A feeling that you're making a difference.
Yes.
Well, you will be speaking at the Jewish Federation of Northeastern New York on Thursday at 6 o'clock. The program is entitled Through the Door of Life, A Jewish Journey Between Genders, which is also the title of your memoir. Joy Ladin, I thank you so much for spending time with us this morning, and I so appreciate you telling your story, and we look forward to having you in the region.
Thank you so much.
It's a great pleasure. Again, Women's Philanthropy of the Jewish Federation of Northeastern New York will host Joy Ladin at Ohav Shalom Synagogue on Thursday at 6 o'clock. The program shares the title of her new book, Through the Door of Life, A Jewish Journey Between Genders. For more information, go to jewishfedny.org, jewishfedny.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.